You are listening to the Trust Podcast, a safe space to dialogue around disconnection and reconnections in our present time. Find out more at trustcollaboration.com.
This is a photograph of an area of greenery that looks quite rough and untended. It's a piece of wasteland in an urban environment. There's a sandy path running through the centre of the photo, with dark brown earth on either side, and some bushes and trees with just a few yellow flowers. Beyond the greenery, you see the scene change, and there are two tall concrete towers with lots of windows. They could be part of a factory, office blocks, flats, or they could even be abandoned.
Welcome to the last episode of the Trust Podcast. The topic for this last episode is urban transition. We always hear about the need to accelerate urban transition for a carbon-free world, where a key to change is ensuring that investments can transform cities toward carbon neutrality, but not reinforce the status quo. And why are cities so important in the global effort to become carbon neutral? Of course, we know that cities are a melting pot for a variety of reasons, including climate change, because they are responsible for 70% of global carbon dioxide emission with transport, buildings, energy, waste management. But what needs to be done, and how can national, regional, and local governments and organization communities, academic institutions, the private sector, and all relevant stakeholders needs to do to work together to create sustainable, carbon neutral, inclusive cities and towns. We talked today with two experts on this topic, Paola Antunes, she's full professor at Nova School of Science of Technology, Lisbon. She was also head of department and director of CENSE, that is the Center for Environmental and Sustainability Research. Her research focuses on mapping and assessment of ecosystem services, circular economy models, sustainability assessment, participatory design support tools, and environmental policy. And she also lately wrote an article on co-creating sustainability performance assessment for public sector. So I kindly ask Paola to begin the dialogue on urban transition, starting maybe from the photo description you heard, and you also saw the photo. What do you feel about urban transition looking at this picture?
Well, good morning, Julia. First of all, thank you for the invitation. Bon dia. Thank you for the invitation to join this podcast and for the initiative to have this project, which is really quite interesting. I also like to say hello to Olivia, my partner in this podcast. It's a pleasure to collaborate with her again. So about the picture, I don't know, my first emotion with the picture is that I don't want to live in such a place, you know, so we look at that and that's not, well, it shows us that we really need urban transition. So we need to shape, we look at those buildings and we know that there are lots of people that live in those buildings. And perhaps you think that that's not how you want to live, because we see that there are, although there is some green space and sort of like a water course and things like that, you understand that there is no room for interaction among people. There is no room for contact with others, with nature, for a normal life. So my first impression of that picture is that it really shows that we need an urban transition. And we need an urban transition not only for carbon, but for all the other reasons that perhaps we can expand later, but we need an urban transition. That's my first thought about that.
Okay. Thank you, Paola. Thank you. You also gave me the opportunity to introduce Olivia Bina, who is the other expert of today's topic. She's principal researcher at the Institute of Social Science at the University of Lisbon, fellow of the World Academy of Art and Science, and adjunct assistant professor at the Department of Geography and Resource Management at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And she's exploring now the notion of progress, future, and sustainability through a critical analysis of the paradigm of growth, of the changing human-nature relationships, and of ideas of nature-based transformation, and of recent debates on happiness and well-being in the Connexus project, for instance. She has also been a convener of the Urban Transition Hub in the ICS, the Institute of Social Science. So, Olivia, may I ask you, what do you feel about this picture on urban transitions?
Yes, so thank you, Julia, also on from my side for the invitation and the challenge to join this conversation. And like Paola, as we were just saying, it's wonderful to meet after 2016, and I hope we can reconnect also in practice in the future. So this is a good platform to do that. And starting with the photo, I love listening to Paola's take, because it made me realize immediately this underlying theme, I think, that is also very relevant to the whole transition transformation debates, which is our subjectivity and its very deep relevance in the way we see and frame a problem, and then obviously the solutions that we look, that we seek for those problems. Because basically I looked at the photo and the first thing I saw was nature rather than the towers. So that was interesting, because it connected to some experience we had in the past about looking into futures and imagined futures. So my first reaction was, is this a futuristic image of nature recovering its presence into what looks like in the background a very dense unauspicious and uninhabitable almost urbanization. Yeah, so it's almost the reverse impression. But of course, that's because I've done that kind of research, so I am prone to look at images thinking about futures, both dystopian and utopian. So in terms of emotions, you ask for emotions. It is an ambiguous emotion, I guess. This image either makes me think there is hope because nature could be thriving in that image. It's not clear. The river could be polluted or it could be or not. So it could be a thriving nature that recovers its energy and power, or the reverse. So it could be these towers encroaching and destroying the surrounding green areas and the systems and the ecological systems that they represent.
Thank you, Olivia. Well, you both mentioned nature as important in this picture and in your reaction. Do you think nature can play a role in this transition, and how? Maybe Paola, you started mentioning something about wider discourses on the role of cities. Can nature be something inside that can accelerate this transition if we need to accelerate?
Well, definitely I think so. Yes, I think nature is fundamental. More and more we realize that cities is just not concrete and roads. Nature plays a very important part, because as we have all the research in ecosystem services, in urban ecosystem services, there are a lot of benefits that we take with the contact with nature, and that in the cities we can benefit from nature, what we call nature-based solutions, like for water, retaining water pollution, for water cycles, regulation of water flows in the cities, which is always a problem. Water is always a problem for urban planners. And if we have these nature-based solutions, water can be a solution, not a problem to urban planners. And so, and all the benefits in terms of well-being, recreation, opportunities to reconnect with nature, because I think one of the problems in urban people living in urban areas is this disconnection with nature. And I think it's very, very relevant that we reconnect with nature, with our food systems, with water. And so I think nature is really fundamental for these urban transitions, mm-hmm. at least the way that I see urban transitions.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, nature-based solutions are now thought to be a critical way to improve climate adaptation and support climate mitigation and create space for biodiversity in cities. But you also highlight an important role of nature in the city, that is a reconnection with the human. Maybe Olivia can talk more about this from her research on the ongoing project Connexus, maybe.
Thank you, Julia. Nature and the city is definitely, as Paula just explored, it's become a prominent theme in thinking about the future of cities, as I see it, and in relation to these major challenges and persistent crises. And yes, the ecosystem services arena, and then the nature-based solutions, reframing and adaptation of those original concepts and policies is now very much, I should say, I would almost say in fashion. But with and COP26, the latest climate change global meeting, reiterated and raised the profile of nature-based solutions even further. I agree with Paula that it really is not only about reducing carbon emissions or addressing the range of the climate change problematics in the cities. It's wider than that. My interest is picking up on the word relationships, is to think of urban spaces, which are important because they represent economically and ecologically and socially such an important section of humanity's experience on this planet. So given their importance in terms of relationships, I would like to see the conversation broaden in terms of how we relate to each other in the cities, how we relate to how do we understand ourselves? How do we relate to each other? And then to the wider experience of life or nature, trying to avoid reifying and reproducing this very Western, a narrow part of Western understanding of how we relate to nature and therefore seeing ourselves as separate. It's a big leap for our culture and our cultures, but I think it's an important leap, and there is much we can draw both from Western traditions that are less mainstream as well as other traditions. I think that would help us think of the problems in a different way and then look for solutions in different ways, including nature-based solutions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Olivia. That's interesting because I always, in the episodes of the Trust podcast, I always try to reflect also on the role of individuals, because of course the truth makes some people uncomfortable. I mean, speaking about our role in all of that can be a source of despair and fear, and you know, sometimes it's really difficult to think where to begin. But at the same time, I mean, we can also be part of the solution, acknowledging that we also benefit from this system of exploitation, and we could be doing more to enact the change. And in this respect, I would like to ask you both, since you're both teacher at universities, what kind of new education in the university system can accelerate this transition again, also hindering on the factors that now separate us from nature in the westernized way that Olivia highlighted, and also leveraging on the systemic view that maybe Paula in your latest research work you are trying to offer. I don't know whoever wants to speak first.
I don't know if Olivia wants to go first, so that it's not
sure. Yeah.
Olivia is a black belt of university
want to jump in first all the time.
So. No, sure. Fair. So yes, the role of education of our university courses in this matter is essential. I would say perhaps a little bit critically, I would say somewhat problematic still. Mm-hmm. As Julia probably knows, and Paola, I can't remember if we crossed paths in that period, but I had the pleasure of chairing a 4-year action on interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary knowledge funded by the European Union on specifically on the issue of research in urban matters, if you wish. And we sort of came to the conclusion after 4 years and many, many, many reflections from 32 different countries' perspectives that the academia, higher education has been to a large extent as much part of the solution as part of the problem, and especially in its persistent maintenance of what we've generally called siloed knowledge production, strong disciplinary boundaries. And whilst we all acknowledge that there is a lot of recognition, at least on paper, of the value and indeed the necessity of interdisciplinary knowledge, let alone transdisciplinary knowledge, by which at least we tend to refer to as the co-production of knowledge with other than academic partners and actors. These ways of producing knowledge are still not common enough. And in the urban sector, a little bit like with the sustainable development, sustainability arena of knowledge, which Paola obviously knows very much about because it's in her package. But these two areas, urbanization, urban studies, sustainability, sustainable development, are quintessentially interdisciplinary. And we are yet to see structures, institutions, courses that are truly reflective of this conditio sine qua non, this essential base starting point. So I am a little bit concerned about the resistance and the many obstacles that persist in this kind of opening up of boundaries and creating the connectivity. Paola was talking about connectedness at the beginning of this conversation. It's a crucial word, and it applies as much to the way we know as to the way we understand problems and solutions, of course.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Olivia. And I guess your urban transition hub maybe is a way to go forward to this respect. I mean, there could be little intervention that can shock the system and be from outside, maybe the laboratories to start talking about another connectivity to the problems and maybe feel part of the solution, not only of the problems.
Yes, I mean, very briefly, yes, it was certainly conceived as such, as an attempt to break down some boundaries, even within our own institution. Mm-hmm. These boundaries are not, just to be clear, it is not about the simplistic division between so-called hard sciences, the natural sciences and the social sciences or the humanities. They are within the disciplines as well and within these broad categories. So there's a long way to go, but that's a small attempt, yes.
Yes, thank you, Olivia. Well, in this podcast, we are also trying to give examples to connect oases and sparks of hope and, you know, people who is doing something different in the institution that are participating to the Trust podcast. So at the end of each podcast on the webpage, people can find all the resources and the website we mentioned. So feel free to to point out anything that can be useful for further thoughts together. And Paola, what about your thoughts on that?
Well, thinking about education and the role of education, of course, I believe that otherwise I wouldn't be a teacher if I wasn't like believing that education and change, it's all a matter of responsibility, people being aware of their responsibility and ethics. And I think education is a major role. But I think that we need, our education system is also disconnected. We were talking about this connection and disconnection. And I think our education system, for many, many reasons, has been more and more and more disconnected from the real world and from nature and from other people. Of course, COVID has not helped with that. But even before, I think we were getting more and more like people read everything, students read everything on the internet. They have these videos, they have access to everything, all these experiences online. And then they do not, our teaching and our education does not connect students with the real world. So I think that one major change that I would like to do in our education system is to have this kind of reconnection, to have students working in real life projects. Say, for instance, if we're talking about the food system, which I think it's a central part for this urban transition, that perhaps it's not so much talked about, but this reconnection with food, growing your, these movements of growing your own food, these urban farms, they all have a very important role, not only of reconnecting us with nature and ecosystem services, but also socially and economically and everything. So, but going back to education, for instance, I think that engaging students in project dealing with food production and distribution and all the food system could, because that could foster, as Olivia was talking about, this idea of transdisciplinary knowledge and integrating different parts of different types of knowledge and the need for this interdisciplinarity and transdisciplinary research for to promote sustainability in urban transitions and in all others. And from my own experience in trying to be like a small farmer, I think that it's really a very good, how do you say, stage for developing this transdisciplinary research and to acknowledge the value of local knowledge. I've learned a lot with other people that know much more about how to grow tomatoes than myself. So we have this opportunity, this humbleness. I don't know if there's this word in English, but yes, yes. Regarding nature and regarding other people and other sources of knowledge. And that's, I think, what is important. And I think that's what's missing in our education system is connection with the field. And we talk about like food systems, but we can also talk about like water and the way and that you manage or a river or a stream and to have some experience in renaturalizing ecosystems, ecosystem restoration. So engaging in such projects on the ground, I think it can be a very important role. And I think that's something that we should go back in doing in our education. I don't know if this makes sense to you.
Absolutely. I mean, better understanding of human-nature connection can provide for sure a powerful window into how to drive sustainable behavior for urban transition and food as water, as mobility, any things, really everything is connected. It's easy to address the challenge of connecting humanity with nature when you put hands on scholarship that pursue what you said. I mean, cross-fertilization of methods and approaches, as Olivia also highlighted in the Intrepid project, extend research beyond individuals and local scales and Western societies, and I guess increase guidance as we are educators for sustainability, transformation and transition. I really thank you both for this insightful talk. Do you want to have a word to wrap up this half hour together, like a conclusive remark or just a word to say goodbye?
Yes, Julia, can I just think, because I'd love to pick up on a couple of things, please, that Paola mentioned, please, which which I'd like to leave here. Ethics in the teaching process and in as a responsibility, which I think is truly something we should talk more about. And its importance in terms of also being very authentic with our students and embracing the issue of normativity, for example, which is such a difficult conversation to be had still within academia. But as Dirk Lurbach, a famous scholar of transition, famously said, it's yes, I mean, if you are engaged with anything to do with sustainability, you are having to embrace a certain normative stance in terms of justice, in terms of the importance of a thriving natural world. So these issues, I think, need to be flagged and embraced and discussed more directly. As for, and lastly, I'd like to say that in terms of the human nature relationships in cities, while cities are such constructs, they are also beautiful places where humans and nature, if we want to keep that that conversation between two parts, can be built in, rediscovered, and can thrive. I want to believe that we can design beautiful cities because humanity will continue to live in these urbanized areas. And it is up to us to build the imaginaries and then the technologies and the solutions for such cities to be beautiful for all forms of life, humans and other than humans.
Thank you, Olivia, because I mean, you both mentioned words that not always are connected with urban transition. You mentioned the word ethic, Paola mentioned the word humbleness, and adding motivation, action and outcome, I guess we can formulate the stewardship toward the environment. And, you know, the concept of stewardship can offer a platform for really collaboration and dialogue between actors, even with different perspective on the human nature relationship and on a truly effective urban transition. So thank you for giving us these keywords, I would say. And Paola, you want to add your closing words or remarks?
Well, yes, just a minor remark. I think time is gone, but
yeah,
just to say that we have been this conversation, and I myself always focus very much on this human nature relationship, but I think that human relationships are also very important. We haven't addressed this, and we could make, well, that would be another half an hour talk about the human relations and the role of things like sharing economy, local currencies, local news, new ways of organizing our life and the life with others in the cities. But I think that this is also as important as the human nature relations are the human relations in urban systems. And that could be another topic for another podcast.
This is just perfect because this is the last episode, but what you just said linked with the first episode, Closing the Loop, that was about human relationship and care, the logical care, knowledge and agency toward the stewardship on our environment. Also, I invited Antje Diesertev, that is working at Sense, your same institution, Paola. She's holding a care lab there at Sense, and I love the idea that this could be the starting point, starting from our authenticity, as Olivia said, and building a new narrative for urban transition. So thank you very much, both.